Welcome to Stash Chats, the sewing podcast that unpicks sewing room secrets and celebrates crafty collections. I'm your host, Yvette, co-founder of sewing organizer app Stash Hub, and I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with your stash. Each episode, I'm joined by a different member of the sewing community to chat about their unique stash, personal sewing journey, and what inspires them. This episode, I'm joined by Marie, who is Stitch Odyssey on Instagram. Marie has sewn for an incredible 14 years and collected a large stash of fabrics along the way. Marie is drawn to bright colours and statement prints, and her collection is such an incredible resource that it can be overwhelming at times. Luckily, Marie's unique taste means her de-stashes are very popular, and I've even heard members of the sewing community describe her de-stashes as their favourite fabric shop. It was incredible to hear about the precious silk fabric that was hand-woven by Marie's great-grandmother, so of course that's a scary fabric to cut into. Let's get into the episode.
Welcome to Stash Chats, Marie.
Hi.
So do you want to just start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself, Marie, like when you got into sewing and what you like to make?
Yeah, so I think I started sewing about 14 years ago or so. Just a friend introduced me to it, and I decided to go along to one of these evening classes at a college type thing, and then I was hooked from then. And I'm not that adventurous considering I've been sewing for such a long time, but I do love to sew dresses mostly. I guess because that's mostly what I wear and I like to wear, and I feel kind of suits me. So yeah, I've got a room full of fabric and I mostly sew dresses, but I am gonna hope to expand that a little bit more when the sojo comes back.
Nice. So you're on a little hiatus from sewing at the moment?
I struggle to find time anyway, which is not great when you've got such a massive stash. But I think most human beings are probably feeling in an utter state of despair over the devastation, happening in Gaza. And I feel that, things like that do have an impact. And I know we've had this kind of scheduled in for a long time. And it's just such a nice privilege to be able to kind of switch off and talk with lovely friends about things that you love doing and you're passionate about and stuff. But yeah, it definitely that takes a bit of a toll, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of like an emotional strain that is sort of there all the time. Like, it's a bit kind of overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it's good. And I'm sure lots of people are feeling it. But as you say, like it is a privilege that we can sort of, take some time to unwind and kind of focus on very nice things. So thank you for having me. And I hope you're feeling better, by the way, as well, because I know you said you were poorly this week. So thanks for doing this.
Yes, I think it was just food poisoning, so I'm completely better today, but I was really rough for 2 days. But yeah, I'm fine now. So yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Well, I'd say because I tend to catastrophize. So as soon as my stomach was hurting, I was like, oh my gosh, my appendix is exploding. This is it for me. I'm gonna have to go to hospital. And my husband's like, I think you just have food poisoning, like it's gonna be okay, like we'll talk to the doctor if this carries on. But yeah, anyway, I'm fine now, so I don't think my insides have exploded. So yeah, there we go. Good. So would you like to describe your stash for us, Marie?
Large, overwhelming, beautiful. it's mostly overwhelming, if I'm honest. It's completely self-inflicted. It's my own fault. I whittle it down with all these giant de-stashes that I do, and then it grows again. By it grows, I mean I buy more fabric because it's clearly a bit of a problem. And I've convinced myself, right? I'm convinced that the reason I grow the stash is so that I can then de-stash and literally play at having a fabric shop, because I think deep down that would be the ultimate dream, sourcing and selling fabrics. But I'm pretty sure it's a very saturated market, and, you know, very, very tough work from all the other, you know, indie sellers that we know have, you know, done such an amazing job to kind of stay afloat, especially in recent years. So I don't say that lightly, but I do wonder whether there's a tiny part of it where I get to play shop and just pretend that I own a fabric shop or something weird like that.
Maybe you could, like, I don't know, you could get fabric shops to hire you as a consultant or something, as their buyer, because I feel like people just love your fabric taste. And like, I've heard people say that your de-stashes are like their favourite fabric shop.
They do tend to do really well, and people, you know, sort of often are a little bit disappointed because they went fast enough and things kind of went really quickly. So yeah, if anybody's watching who would like to have a, you know, a consultant or clearly someone with a very great taste in fabric on their team, please get in touch, because I genuinely think that might be my calling in life. So yeah, please do.
I think as well, like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have, like, you often buy a lot of fabrics that are sort of dead stock or like limited range. So then when they come up in your de-stashes, people are like, oh, this is my chance, I missed out.
Yeah, and I promise that's not on purpose, but I think a lot of the kind of dead stock or limited stock kind of fabrics are it's good, isn't it, on a live, just forgetting words, how to speak. They're statement pieces, aren't they, a lot of times, and that's kind of what I'm attracted to. So yeah, they're always going to be popular, but I definitely am a bit of a magpie. You know, I like colourful prints, but then that doesn't always correspond with what I feel confident in wearing, so there's a real kind of disconnect there with what I buy and then what I might actually wear. I'm sure other people feel that as well, but yeah, it's I don't understand it fully.
Yeah, I think this leads on to a question that we had from Anne-Marie, who said, how do you decide what to de-stash? Because they're clearly a big fan of your de-stashes. They said they've bought from you several times. So is it like things that you think, oh, I really love it, but I'm not sure about wearing it?
Yeah, I think it's mostly that. And just want to say a huge, huge thank you, obviously, to everybody who buys from my de-stash, because a lot of times I put that money towards vet bills for the various animals I seem to be collecting along the way. And the recent one helped to fund a ridiculously expensive cat flap for Flash, because we have a glass door, so the glass has to be replaced. So I'm really genuinely really really grateful that, you know, people like the de-stashes and buy from me. But yeah, I do think it probably is, I get excited if I see an interesting print and just think, oh gosh, yeah, I'd love to wear that, I'd love to make something in that. And then because I buy faster than I can sew, things kind of stay in the stash for quite some time. And then, you know, when you're reviewing things, your taste change, you know, you might buy something thinking it's going to look great, but you hold it up against yourself and actually the colours just don't do you any favours. So yeah, it's not because I don't love them anymore, it's just more a case of I should probably let somebody else make something with that, because I might never get round to it, or it doesn't suit my, you know, what I wanted it for anymore.
Yeah. Do you find it takes like an emotional toll to like let go of things?
Sometimes, yeah. And I think that's why things stay in my stash for a while, because I do genuinely buy things that I love at the time, or, you know, that I associate with particular, I don't know, time in life or memories and stuff. So it can be quite hard. But honestly, because my stash has gotten so big, and I am quite overwhelmed by it, it also feels quite freeing to get rid of stuff and know that it's going to a good home. And I really love it when people tag me in posts or stories of like what they've made with fabric that they bought from my de-stashes. A couple times I've been like, I shouldn't have let that one go. But mostly it's just so nice to see like it actually made up and people loving it and enjoying it. So
that's really nice. So before you started sewing, did you wear a lot of dresses, or did you get more into dresses like through the sewing?
No, I've always worn dresses, and it's to do with my body proportions. So, and again, I'm sure other people experience this, but I have much smaller waist than my hips and bust. So I would absolutely love to be the kind of person who could wear like a cute skirt with like a little top tucked in or something like that. But skirts, because they don't have a crotch, they just ride up on me because they just kind of go higher and higher and higher, and then they just sit right under my boobs. So it kind of makes me look like I literally have no kind of, you know, waist at all. So that's why I just gravitate towards dresses, because I feel like I can wear them a lot more comfortably, and you know, they kind of work with my proportions a bit better. If I wear sort of like trousers, like jeans and a top, it's fine because the jeans can only ride up so much. But yeah, it's particularly skirts that I have this problem with. And it's really sad because I see loads of lovely outfits and, you know, really, really great skirt patterns out there as well. But I just can't, haven't found a way where I can wear them.
Yeah. I've enjoyed your styling videos that you've done recently, like with your like Rhea dress that you styled for autumn winter. So when you wore it with like the jumper over the top and stuff. So then you're kind of getting a skirt type look, but without actually the faff of dealing with a skirt up in your bra.
Yeah, definitely. That's my go-to, sort of winter autumn uniform really. And it is quite nice because you do get to wear the dress in a different way. And a lot of people, you know, when I go to work and stuff, they'll be like, oh, that's a nice skirt. And so I can pretend. Sometimes I don't tell them it's a dress and I'm like, yeah, thanks.
It's like the same with culottes, when you're like, oh, they're a nice skirt, and then you have to get your legs out like, yeah, it's trousers.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you store the fabric in your stash? I think I sense a Kallax behind you.
Yeah, can you see? I think it's maybe two or three Kallaxes stacked up together. So it's floor to ceiling, which is just really, really bad. And I fold certain fabrics, and other fabrics I roll. So the ones behind me that you can see, they're all rolled because they're viscoses, and they're so much easier for me personally to kind of get in and out if they're kind of rolled, and to just store, because trying to sort of like slide them in and out when you folded them is like a nightmare. But there's other fabrics, you know, like cottons and mostly sort of like the non-slippery, non-drapey wovens that I'll kind of like fold and stack, because then I can just take them all out if I want to, or try and prize one out. But yeah, I'm not...
That's a good idea to have it sort of...
Sorry, continue.
Sorry, what are you saying?
I can't see you. It's so weird. I'm just like, I can see myself with just a little black box above. So I'm just really sorry if I'm like being really delayed in speaking or then speaking over you.
It's fine, don't worry. And what were you saying? You're not particularly...
I'm just not a very organised person, and I think that's a problem when you have... Flash is here. When you have sort of like a big stash, it's just very basic. I haven't got any like cool tips or... Yeah, I know. I think Claire, is on this live stream, and she's just absolutely full of ideas and tips and just cool ways of being organized and doing things. And I'm not a gadget person, and I'm not a very organized person. So yeah, staying on top of stuff like this is just, it's the very, I just do the very basic.
When it comes to your D stashes, then you have to kind of rummage through everything and figure out what you've got, and or do you have it sort of in your mind what you might like to let go?
Kind of depends what mood I'm in and what's motivating the D stash. Like sometimes I'll feel super overwhelmed and I'll just be like, everything has to go. I have to be really, really just, you know, brutal and just get rid of it all. So then I just start pulling piles out, or I'll kind of like go kind of like square by square and just set like an arbitrary thing of a third of all of these must go. But then I'll be like, oh no, well I can't let go of that one, and I really love this one, and that one's not going anywhere. So it kind of just depends what mood I'm in and what's motivating the de-stash.
So do you have fabrics that you like but then you're sort of put off sewing them for various reasons?
Yes, yeah, I think we've all got fabrics that are we either deem too precious, or not even in a monetary value, you know, it could be sentimental reasons, or just because you really, really love that fabric. Like some of the fabrics I'm really scared of cutting into are often like inexpensive, but they're just a really lovely print that, you know, might be dead stock, or I know I wouldn't be able to find again, so I'll kind of like hold on to them and just be too scared to do anything.
Yeah. So how do you decide which fabric to use when you're ready to start a project?
Good one. I really envy people who buy fabric with a project in mind. I think that's just incredible. What, honestly, absolute goals. What a way to be. So sometimes I can spend quite a lot of time pulling out loads of different fabrics just to see what will go with a pattern. And then I think I've decided on one, and then actually I change my mind. But other times, the minute you kind of like think, oh, I want to make this dress, you know exactly which fabric kind of springs to mind, or occasionally I will buy fabric with a pattern in mind. But yeah, sometimes it's a little bit of a kind of trial and error of, you know, you think you know what you want to make, and then you kind of put the two together and it's like, oh no, I don't think this is going to work out. So yeah, no real rhyme or reason.
Yeah,
just out of chaos.
You've got a big resource to choose from, so you can really like feel your way around and what you fancy making. So are there any collection, or is it very print heavy?
Oh my god, it is. Oh, sorry, can you repeat that again, because you cut off a bit?
Sorry, I said it's in your collection. Can you hear me, Marie? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm losing you a little bit. I'm sorry if it's on my end. I hope not.
I was just saying, have you got any plain fabric in your collection?
Oh, sorry. You had to repeat that so many times. Not a lot. I think I've got maybe like one square of plain fabric. And this silly thing is, like, if I ever buy from shops and stuff, I will buy plain things or more subtle things. It's just with fabric, I just get excited by all the prints, and that's, I think, half the issue, because then you're like, well, will I actually wear that, or will I have the confidence to wear that, or do I want to wear that, and is it going to clash with everything else? But yeah, it's mostly prints and, you know, colors, you know, bright colors and stuff. I think it was when we were going on holiday one time, probably ages ago, but I was packing, I kind of got lots of handmade dresses out and laid them on the bed, and my partner Charlotte walked in and she was like, whoa, that is wow, when you see them all like that next to each other, that's wild, because she sees them individually, obviously, when I make them and I post about them and I wear them and stuff. And individually, I guess they're kind of, you know, the print stands out and they're bright enough. But she was assaulted, I think, by the range of them. None of them, it's not like a capsule wardrobe. Each one is like a statement piece on its own. So that made me chuckle. And it kind of summarized my makes up really well.
Yeah, see, that's your stash as well, isn't it? It's just like every piece is a statement piece. How many statements can you make, Marie?
I don't understand it fully myself.
That's incredible though, that you've got a massive stash of maybe one piece that's plain.
Yeah,
it's really hard to buy plain fabric line though, because you don't know if it's gonna like feel nice, and then if it looks plain and it doesn't feel nice, like what has it got going for it?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Yvette. That's exactly it. And and also color wise as well, if it's a print and it's not exactly what you expected, it will probably still be okay. But if it's a solid and it's not what you expected, you know, like greens and blues online can look quite, you know, off. And I do most of my shopping online. Where I live, we don't really have many or any real like fabric shops left really now. And even the market, which was really good, is kind of really dwindling in Leicester. There's only like one regular, you know, spot there that sells fabric. So yeah, I do most of it online. So I do feel I've got burnt a few times with buying solid colours because they're not really the shade or the, you know, or the exact colour that I thought they were going to be. So that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it.
Well, especially if you're buying it to go with other things specifically and then it's not the right colour, it's like, oh, I mean, probably it would go with something in your style. Yeah, exactly. Then it's, yeah, you don't want to be buying things.
No, but I did pick out a few little bits. I don't know if you're interested in seeing, and if there's other questions, it's absolutely fine. But only because we're talking about solids right now, and I've got like two little piles in front of me. So, you know, earlier you asked about precious fabric. So I've got this. So this is solid, very solid. But it's very, very special, and I don't know when I'll ever have the courage to decide what to make with it, let alone cut into it. But it's basically silk fabric that my great grandmother kind of spun and wove herself with her own hands back in the village in Cyprus in the 1940s. So she kind of nurtured and grew the silkworms, and then, you know, just made this fabric, and she made it as she made a lot of it, and she made a lot of it into sort of bedding and kind of homeware stuff as a dowry for my grandma and her three sisters. So like when they got married, they had something to impress their husbands with, and I'm pretty sure my granddad was not impressed with, you know, all of this stuff. But you know, we got I got to inherit a lot of it, and many years ago I did make with some of it, I did make a 1920s style blouse with some lovely like lace detail and stuff. And I don't know, I think I was quite early on in my sewing journey and I didn't have the fear that you do that comes with experience, so I was like, yeah, it's fine. So I'm glad that I made that because it's really beautiful and I still wear it for special occasions now, but now I'm too scared to cut into the rest of it and make something from it. So that's that one. And then I thought to kind of juxtapose that, I do have a plain fabric and it's just like a kind of like khaki, really lovely brushed cotton sort of twill from Rainbow Fabrics, and I want to make a Tilly and the Buttons Sonny jacket with this. So yeah, there you go. I've got some planes, and
well, that one's just waiting its time for a new pattern to come.
What was that? Sorry, is that made it to the top of your list? Did you say?
I was just saying that khaki fabric has just been biding its time for the new pattern to come out.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly been doing that, and it's perfect for it. And I must say, probably about 50, at least 50% of my stash is from Rainbow Fabrics, so they have a lot to answer for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we did sometimes on Stash Hub we post like stats, and we were going to do one about shops, but then I didn't get around to actually posting it. But anyway, one of like Rainbow Fabrics was one of the like top shops that everyone adds their fabrics in Stash Hub, so I think they've got a lot to answer for in a lot of people's stashes.
Yeah, definitely. They really do. I mean, it's so hard to resist, their drops because they're so well priced and, such amazing fabrics. It's just, you feel like you're going to really miss
And
out as well if you don't go for it.
yeah, exactly. So do let us know in the chat as well if you've got any questions for Marie. I'm just going to ask you some questions. So we got a question from In Agatha's Cottage, which was, how do you organize your stash? Which I think we kind of already touched on with the how you've got some of it folded, some of it rolled, and you kind of have it in your head as well. Like you say that you're not organized, but I think you do know what's going on in there.
Yeah, and I do organize by sort of type as well. So, yeah, they're kind of roughly organized by kind of type and weight of fabric. And then within each little cubby hole, I try to sort of like arrange them in color as well, just so they're a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. So you've got black viscoses there, and then here we've got, ignore that rogue one at the top, but kind of greens and then blues. And, so yeah. I'm not organized, but there is a little bit of a method to my madness.
Yeah, there's a system. It's not a strict
Yeah.
system or a particularly intensive high effort system, but there is something happening there. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then shall we talk about the Anne Adams 4769 pattern that you and Claire Sows have been talking about for some years?
I would love to go back to the origin of that chat and see like what year that was in. Maybe Claire remembers. Claire is just amazing. I mean, I don't even know. I'd totally forgotten, to be honest. I honestly can't remember the first time she approached me about wanting to draft that for me, which is like the nicest thing ever. And I don't even know where we left it. I feel really bad now. I'm like, oh, was I supposed to do something? But yeah, anytime, Claire, I just don't know how I'll repay the favor. I definitely won't be able to draft anything for you ever. I'll send you something nice, chocolates, anything you want in the post.
The fabric.
Yeah, oh God, yeah,
Oh yeah,
fabrics,
it was
absolutely.
since 2015, Claire says, wants to
Oh.
practice the pattern cutting on you as a guinea pig. So I put it in my stories just before the live started, but if you haven't seen it, it's a really nice, is it kind of a halter neck with like a scalloped edge, and it's quite a sort of vintage like fitted bodice and then flared skirt. Which I think kind of fits in with your style, Marie. So that's probably why Claire thought of you for her guinea pig.
I know, and especially back then, I was definitely into vintage a lot more. I still am. I still love it, but yeah, I feel like my lifestyle is a lot more casual now. I'm working a lot from home, putting any clothes on that aren't just joggers or leggings and an okay top is kind of an achievement nowadays. But yeah, it is nice to kind of dress up a little bit, even when you are working from home. If you can be bothered to make the effort, it does make you feel better.
Yeah. Do you ever manage to go to any of the like, oh, Claire says it would be cute as a summer top with jeans. So there
Yeah.
you go.
Yeah. I think so too, Claire. Okay, well, thank you for remembering. We have to make this happen, don't we?
Yeah. We're going to have to set up a sewing date and then book a holiday, and then you're all set.
Yeah, sounds good.
Excellent. So, have you got any more fabric that you wanted to show us, Marie?
I can show you some. So I kind of had on the kind of like precious side of things, along with the kind of family heirloom that was passed down. There's another, but I do have quite a nice collection of vintage fabrics, which I'm also very scared of cutting into. So this is a really beautiful sort of viscose type fabric. That was passed down to me by my great aunt. And it's got this lovely sort of like nautical print on it. And it's just really soft and beautiful. But yeah, way too scared to do anything because that's sort of like 1930s, 1940s.
Vibrant colors.
It's coming up
That's
more vibrant than
vibrant
it
colors for like
actually.
a vintage.
Yeah, like it is. It's in
Yeah,
really lovely condition
pink.
because she looks after it so well. And then this is a piece that I bought. It wasn't given to me. It's like a 1950s, no, sorry, 1940s like border print. Again, kind of like viscosey, drapey, not viscose. It's kind of like a cottony mix with a drape in it. Don't know exactly what it is, but this one I've had for quite some time. And again, just too scared to make anything with it, but you know, I should really be a bit braver because it would be a shame to sort of leave this world at some point and then all this fabric just stays. I already have more than I could ever sew through in a lifetime, so maybe I need to change my tactics and start sewing through the more precious ones first. And then I was going to just quickly show you just on the theme of rainbow fabrics. I have like three projects lined up with their fabrics. So obviously one of them is the Sonny jacket, and then this was one of their crazy kind of viscose prints they bought out last year. And it I know it's not Christmassy, but it kind of to me looks quite festive-y. So I'm hoping maybe I can make like the Veronica Tucker hazel dress with this.
Yes, I make that for Christmas. It's so gorgeous.
Have you made that, did you say? Sorry.
Haven't made it, but it's on my list.
On my list. I've seen some amazing versions. It's yeah, so nice. And because it's so floaty, you know, it won't be restrictive and yeah, it could look quite cute. So that's one plan. And then just because of my very casual lifestyle nowadays, this is also from Rainbow Fabrics, and it's like a waffle sort of like lightweight knit jersey type thing.
Nice.
And I was hoping to make is it swim style patterns and the Carla loungewear set with that. So there are plans
That'll be
brewing. I
cozy.
just Yeah, really cozy, and I feel like even if I just had that on from like a working from home day, I'd feel cozy and comfy, but also not as unkempt as when I just wear shop bought leggings and a raggy old t-shirt.
Yeah, you've like basically you don't need to get made up. You've literally made your outfit, so you're good. I've just come up with a brilliant idea. I think we need to convince Yusuf from Rainbow Fabrics to take you on a trip with him to Turkey when he buys the fabrics,
Oh my
because then you'll get your fabric buying fix. We need to right, everyone in the sewing community, you got to back this plan now.
Honestly, Yvette, you took the words out of my mouth. Every time he's out there, wherever he is in the world, sourcing fabric, he does a great job, he and his team. But I always think, I could really help you. I would be a great asset to your team, Yusuf. Like I would, you know, I could really, really help you. So imagine, maybe I should propose it. Maybe I should get
Good.
in touch and say, look, huge fan, please let me do more.
Yeah,
Yeah,
this will be
that.
this is going to happen now. Right, done.
Honestly, would be the dream. Let's make it happen, please.
Amazing. Cool. Right, on that note, Well, we're gonna wrap it up now. Everyone send a DM to Rainbow Fabrics, get Marie on the staff for the next turkey trip. Thank you so much, Marie, for sharing your stash and your like amazing family legacy fabrics as well. I feel like that silk is just mind-blowing. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to Stash Chats wherever you listen to podcasts to tune in to more great conversations with the sewing community. If you're interested in organising your own sewing stash, be sure to check out Stash Hub app, available on iOS, Android and web. Links with more information about Stash Hub and the show notes for this episode can be found in the description.